And we're going to be looking at a subject, Jack has already mentioned. The narrow way to heaven requires belief in the Christ. My friends, there's one thing that each and every one of us faces. Every single individual who has ever lived upon the face of this earth one day will step through the doors into eternity. And they will spend eternity in one of two places. The Bible speaks of a broad way and a narrow way. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. The Bible tells us that broad way is a way that leads to destruction. And the narrow way leads to life. Our understanding of what we're going to be talking about tonight determines where we spend eternity. How we deal with our understanding of Jesus Christ will determine how and where we spend eternity. In John chapter 14, beginning in verse number 1 there, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And then in verse number 6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." The Bible does declare that there is a narrow way. We've already mentioned there in Matthew chapter 7. Also there in Matthew 22 and verse number 14, the Bible says, "For many are called, few are chosen." Also in Luke chapter 13, verses 23 and 24, "Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able." Now the word narrow is a word that means a way which is confined. And as has already been mentioned, I did not get to hear Brother Charles's lesson, but man is trying to make the narrow way wide. But that's not possible. God has set that in place. And the point that he's making is that if we're going to travel the narrow way, it will be because we go to the Word of God. And we live our lives according to the Word of God and nothing more and nothing less, because that's all there is that will bring us to salvation. When we talk about Christ, there are many today that have a misunderstanding about belief in Christ. There are some that just simply reject the Christ. There are others that try to make Christ fit into their mold by broadening that narrow way. There are some that will not even identify that Christ is the Son of God. And as I said, what we talk about tonight and how we look at this and how we study this and how we accept this and how we apply this will determine where we spend eternity. It determines what road you're on right now. So let's look tonight at the narrow way to heaven requires belief in the Christ. To begin with, I want to look at some false views about Christ. As I've already said, there are many that deny that Christ even existed. Of course, the atheists, they want to do away with everything that has to do with God. And then there is the Jewish religion that rejects Christ completely. In fact, their religion really is based upon the fact that Christ has not yet come into this world. In fact, they are the ones that are responsible for the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 23, also in verse 36, he says there, "You with wicked hands have taken and crucified the Son of God." So there are those who are atheists that reject anything that has to do with God, period. And there are those whose religion is based upon the fact that they do not accept that Christ has ever come into this world. Then there are those who we would refer to as humanists, and they try to have their own Savior. They try to make themselves their own Savior. Here's a statement from the humanists. They say, "We deplore efforts to denigrate human intelligence, to seek to explain the world in supernatural terms, and to look outside the natural for salvation." That's what they do. They try to make Christ, if there's going to be any kind of good thing, it'll be because of themselves. Then we can look at some who have religions. For instance, we can look at Jehovah's Witness. They deny His deity. Here is a quote from Charles Taz Russell. He says, "Jesus is a God, small g, but not Jehovah God." J.F. Rutherford, here is his quote. He says, "The ransom for all given by the man, Christ Jesus, does not give or guarantee everlasting life, a blessing to any man." Well, let's go on. Let's think about what the Mormons have to say about Christ and His deity and Him being the Savior. Joseph Smith makes this statement, and this is taken from the Doctrines of Salvation, Volume 1, page 135 and 136. Joseph Smith said, "There are certain sins, listen, so grievous that was beyond the power of the Christ to remove, even though repentance be made. The blood of the sinner must be shed to atone for their sins. And men from certain crimes have had to atone as far as they could for their sins, wherein they placed themselves beyond the redeeming power of the blood of Christ." The Mormons say that we can so sin that the blood of Jesus cannot remove sin. I have to give my blood in order to obtain my salvation. And some of us, some of you as old as I am, can remember several years ago out in Utah, a man named Gary Gilmore was to be put to death, and he required the firing squad because he was a Mormon. His blood had to be shed if he was going to have any atoning quality from his life. Brigham Young said this in the Journal of Discourses, Volume 4, pages 53 and 54. He says, "There are sins that men commit for which they cannot receive forgiveness in this world or the world to come. Their blood must be spilled upon the ground that the smoke thereof might ascend to heaven as an offering for their sins, and the smoking incense would atone for their sins." Again, the blood of men. Also, he made this statement from the same publication, but it was volume 8, page 115. He says, "The birth of the Savior was as natural as the birth of our children. It was the result of natural action. He partook of flesh and blood, was begotten of His Father as we were of our fathers." That's their mindset of Jesus Christ. Islam. Muhammad accuses Christians of being polytheistic because we believe in the Trinity. They view Christ as simply a prophet, not the Son of God. They also reject the divinity of Jesus and deny His pre-existence. They deny His death, burial, and resurrection. So here we look at those various ones and we think, well, I understand that. We understand about the Muslims. We understand about the Mormons. We understand and read about the Jehovah's Witness. And we understand about humanists. And we certainly understand about the atheist. But even those kinds of denominational bodies that are in tune with the mindset of most people, for instance, the Baptists, they say salvation is the belief that Christ is the Son of God. Billy Graham said, "Just believe in Jesus, that He is the Son of God. It's that simple." That's what you have to do. I have a transcript of Mr. Graham's lesson on television. He said, do you want to be saved? Here's how you become saved. You believe, you make the statement that Christ is the Son of God and you're saved. Brethren, that's a false concept of what we're talking about tonight concerning the narrow way to heaven. Requires, really we should say, requires a proper belief in the Christ. My salvation, your salvation, the salvation of the entire world is dependent upon how we use and understand our belief in Jesus Christ. They use as, the Baptists use as their proof text, John 3:16. They use Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8. And we understand John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And they say, that's all you have to do is just simply believe. They go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. We're going to talk about Ephesians 2, 8 and following in just a few minutes. But I just want to kind of set the idea, the tone, for how people think about Christ. It's beyond my comprehension how some of these people can have the understanding that they do about the Savior, the Son of God. Well, let's do something now. Let's define some terms. Let's define the word belief, first of all. Strong says that this word, the Greek word pistuo, means to have faith, have respect to either a person or a thing, that is, credit by implication, to entrust, to believe, to commit to trust, or to put trust with or in a thing. In other words, here is this belief. And it comes from that word pistuo. But I want us to look just a little bit at two other words. I want us to take the word belief and the word faith and put those two together and talk about them for just a second. When you look at the word faith, that's the word pistis. And the word belief is the word pistuo, or the pistos, as we talked about earlier. But here is this word faith. Now, the word faith means persuasion or credence. It means to have an assurance, belief, faith, or fidelity. The word belief means to have faith, to entrust, to believe, to commit, as we've already talked about. But there are two words that are so closely entwined. Even if you look at the words, you look them up in the Greek. One in Strong's is the number 402. The other one is the word 4100. They're right together. They're the same. And they're root words. So I look at those and I understand that here's a word that comes from another word. They have essentially the same meaning. They're inseparable. Faith and belief, they're inseparable. When we look at the Bible and how we understand this word belief, must believe in the Christ. What does that mean? Well, we put our faith, we put our trust in Him, but it also is our assurance, our belief. It is our faith, it's our fidelity, but it also means to commit to. When I look at words and these words, then we begin to understand something more about what the Bible says about our belief in the Christ. We're going to talk about those things in just a minute. So hold that thought in your mind about those words and the definition of those words. Let's just think here for a minute that biblical belief involves a conviction based upon inspired evidence and action enjoined to that belief. Remember belief and faith? James chapter 2 verse 20 says, faith without works is dead. Also James 2 and verse number 23. I looked at Hebrews chapter 11 verse number 6. Well, the Bible there says, without faith it is impossible to please Him, for all that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And then you go to Romans 10, verse 17, where the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. What are we talking about? We're talking about the narrow way to heaven requires a proper belief in the Christ. It is not just my mental assent that He is the Son of God, as Mr. Graham would say. Simple, just accept the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So there's the idea that people have about Christ. There are those words that we've defined. Now, number three, let's look at some requirements of biblical belief in Christ. There are certain requirements concerning that. Well, first of all, it does require that I acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It requires that I recognize that Jesus came into this world. He died for the sins of mankind. He was buried. He rose from the grave on the third day. And then He ascended back to the Father. It is essential that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 10, in verses 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Without question, we have to acknowledge truly this was and is the Son of Almighty God. This confession affirms that He is the Son of God, and it affirms our belief in the Christ. In Matthew chapter 16, you'll remember there in verses 15 and 16 how that He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And you'll remember the eunuch in Acts chapter 8, verses 36 and verse 37. The Bible speaks there, Philip went up, and the Bible says he preached unto him Jesus Christ. And as they went on their way, the Bible says they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, "Here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Philip said, "If thou believest, thou mayest." The eunuch said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And the Bible says they both went down in the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Notice that. There is the need, and there is that requirement that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We cannot come to salvation without making that acknowledgement. The Father in heaven acknowledged that Christ was His Son. We find in Matthew 3, verse 17, also in Matthew 17, verse number 5, where He said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." The Father acknowledged that Jesus Christ was His Son. Jesus acknowledged His relationship with the Father. We look at John 14, verse number 6, where He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Me." You stop and think about that. That's a powerful statement, brethren. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Me. What was He saying? I am the Son of God, the Savior of mankind. We must believe that. And I understand, and I know that you acknowledge that, that Christ is the Son of God. We've already made the statement that in the religious world, the Baptists, they confess, they believe that Christ is the Son of God. And truly, we must make that confession. We must have that particular belief. As we said, Jesus acknowledged this. Even in the Great Commission, when He said there in Matthew chapter 28, when He said, "All power, all authority is given unto Me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." You see, the Bible teaches us we must acknowledge that Christ is the Son of God. The Father acknowledged it. Jesus acknowledged that He was the Son of God. We saw others that made that acknowledgement. Peter did, as we mentioned there in Matthew chapter 18. But also, this idea of acknowledging Him, just simply saying, He, Jesus, is the Son of God. We must do that. But yet, there is more to the narrow way to heaven and the belief in Christ than simply acknowledging that He is the Son of God. Let me ask a question. How in the world can these people in the denominational world, how can men like Mr. Graham say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and turn and tell millions of people, all you need to do is believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. How can he say that? And on the other hand say, you must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but you do not have to believe what the Son of God said that is required for salvation. Jesus said, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. How can I acknowledge Him as being the Son of God and say I believe Him, but I do not believe what He said? Does that make any sense at all? Say I believe in this individual, but I do not believe what he says. Acknowledging is required. Confessing that Christ is the Son of God is truly required. But I have to go further. There are some things that we must be doing. Let me show you what James says about this idea of just acknowledging that Christ is the Son of God. You look at James chapter 2, there in verses 19 and 20. James says, Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. And then he goes on to say, faith without works is dead. Now stop and think with me, please. If it is the case, all I must do in order to be saved is acknowledge that Christ is the Son of God and believe that He is truly the Son of God, the devils are going to be saved. If not, why not? The devils not only believe, brethren, they tremble. They understand. Acknowledge Him, yes. But we have to put into action what we believe. Many acknowledge His deity, yet they deny His commandments. We've already mentioned there in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. Let's look at some clear Bible teachings on this subject we're talking about. This idea of simply saying, I believe. And I am not trying, and you know me. I'm not trying to cast a dispersion and be unkind to anybody. But the narrow way to heaven requires a proper belief in Jesus the Christ. And if a man does not have that proper belief, he is on the broad way, on his way to destruction. The Bible teaches us so much. You turn to Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 27. We won't go through all those verses, but look there at Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and thy name cast out devils, and thy name done many wonderful works? And he will say, Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. But the verse says, I called you Lord, and in your name I was doing certain things. But there is a completeness that has to be in place. Believing that He is the Son of God, yes, sir. But believing what He said for us to do. And believing what He said for us to do, listen carefully, requires action. Belief, faith in what He has said to us requires action. If I were to say here tonight, if I were to say, there's a fire over here in this corner, and you say, you know, I've known Tony for a long time. He wouldn't tell anything that's not true. And really, you know, really, I smell smoke. And I say to you, the only way we're ever going to get out of this building is to go through these doors. And you say, I believe that. Is your believing that I'm saying there's a fire and that's the only way out, is that what's going to save you from that fire? No. It's when you get up and act on what you believe that you're going to come to salvation. The same is true when we talk about eternal salvation. We have the Bible. The Bible is clear. It teaches us what we must do in order to be saved. Let me ask you another question about religious people who believe. Let's go back to Acts chapter 2. In verse number 36, Peter said that you have crucified the Son of God, but God raised him up. Verse 37, the Bible there says of these Jewish people, it says they were pricked in their heart and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do about what? What shall we do about our condition, our salvation?" And Peter said, "You don't have to do anything because you have now acknowledged." How do I know that they acknowledged their belief? Because they were pricked in their heart and said, "What do we need to do about this?" But that's not what Peter said. Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." In Luke chapter 6 and verse number 46, the Bible there says, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" You know, there are some people that say, "Well, preach Christ and leave everything else alone." I've had people say to me, "Why don't you just preach the deity of Jesus? Why don't you just preach about Christ being the Son of God and leave baptism out? Leave repentance out? Leave all those things, leave the church out of it and just preach about Christ?" Well, brethren, when we began to talk about preaching the gospel of Christ, I told Larry I was glad that he handled that little part. I won't have to deal with that very much in my lesson. When you talk about the gospel of Christ, you're talking about more than the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ that you find there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. Yes, but that chapter is talking about the resurrection, the proof that Christ is the Son of God. Well, I want you to turn with me and let's look and see what the Bible... What if I preach Christ? What am I preaching? Look over to Acts chapter 8 with me. I got to keep a sharp eye out for Jack. In Acts chapter 8, now listen, brethren, what we're talking about is the narrow way to heaven requires proper belief in the Christ. And I've just said, people say, "Well, you just preach the Christ and leave everything else alone." What does it mean to preach Christ? Look at Acts chapter 8 verse 5. Please follow. "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them." What did he preach? We preach Christ. I've had people say to me, "There it is. There's proof of what you ought to be preaching." Well, okay, that's fine. What did he preach? Verse 12 tells me what he preached. What did he preach? Look at verse 12. "When they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." The preaching of Christ, the preaching of the gospel of Christ, requires the preaching of the kingdom. It requires preaching the name of Jesus, and it requires preaching baptism for remission of sin. Look at that just for a second. When we talk about the kingdom of God, Jesus commanded that kingdom be preached there in Luke chapter 9 and verse number 2. The Bible says, "And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." The kingdom and the church are one and the same. Look over there to Colossians 1 and verse 13. The Bible there says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." What does it mean? Now, brethren, listen carefully. Because I know some preachers in the brotherhood today that need to go back and start preaching this. When he talks about the kingdom He's talking about the church. When he talks about the church, he's talking about one. Ephesians 4 verse 4 says there is one body. What is the one body? In Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, the body is defined as being the church. Also in Colossians 1 verse 18 and verse number 24. There are not a multitude of churches. There is one church. And gospel preaching requires that we preach. There is one place where salvation is going to be found, and that is in the church of Christ. And never be ashamed to say, I'm a member of the church of Christ. It requires the preaching concerning the kingdom. But it also says they believe his preaching concerning the name of Jesus Christ. That's acknowledging Him as being the Son of God and recognizing that He has the authority. And we've already talked about Romans 10 and verse number 9. We've already talked about Acts chapter 8 and verse number 37. But also in 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 5, there the Bible says, "Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" It requires, if I am going to understand, if I'm going to have proper belief in Christ, I must believe there is the one church, the kingdom. I must believe that He and only He has the authority to designate, to command, to give instruction concerning our salvation. And it's already been talked about. It's not in the mind of men. Salvation has not come from the mind of men. In Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, they sinned. God was not going to leave them without hope. In verse 15, He made a promise. I'm going to send one that would take away the sins of mankind. Brethren, the theme of the Bible from beginning to end, the theme, the golden thread that runs throughout the Bible is salvation of man through Jesus Christ to the glory of God. That's what God has promised, salvation. Through His Son, yes. Understanding, here is the Christ who was resurrected from the grave, yes. But that same Christ that was raised from the grave is that same Christ that has given us instruction. Why do you think Jesus would say, if you love me, keep my commandments? Why didn't he just say, if you love me, acknowledge me? Understand that Christ is a Son of God. Understand the kingdom. And understand that we must have baptism for remission of sin. If I'm going to be a member of that one body, it will be because I obey the gospel of Christ. And that means I hear, believe, repent, confess, and then I am baptized for the remission of my sins, as is stated in our text here in Acts chapter 8, verse number 12. Salvation is not to be... I can take any one of those three things out, and I do not have the salvation that I'm looking for. Understand, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, the death, burial, and resurrection, everything is dependent upon that. If I'm going to come to salvation washed by the blood of Christ, I do that because He died for me, shed His blood for me. Yes. But I need to understand, Christ is the Son of God. He came to this earth. He established the church. He gave the instruction. The Holy Spirit came and inspired these men, as has already been mentioned, that we can open the Bible and study the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ tells me about the Savior, about Him being the Son of God, about His church that He died for, Acts 20 and verse number 28, and how I get into it. And I can only be saved. I can only become a member of the body of Christ when I obey the gospel of Christ. That's why it needs to be preached. Debbie and I stopped on our way Sunday evening, Blackwell, Oklahoma. They were having a gospel meeting. came in the door and they told me, "You're in for a treat." Sat down. Their gospel meeting. He read one text, the Samaritan woman. In 45 minutes, he gave two scriptures. Really, he just alluded to one and gave one. And he talked about how a person has to have influence. And then he went on to talk about how that a man named Chuck Colson, who was part of the Watergate, sent to prison. While he was in prison, he came to know Jesus. And he has his program, television radio program. A man down in Florida, Jack Eckerd, of Eckerd Drugs, heard it. And he said, "I want that man to come down and give that message." And he did. And then he called him again and said, "I want you to come down and baptize me." That preacher that night said that Mr. Colson accepted Jesus and was saved. He's a Baptist. He didn't obey the gospel of Christ. But the mindset of this man is that he did. Simply by accepting that Jesus is the Son of Almighty God. Well, if we're going to preach the gospel today, good people, it means we're going to have to preach the entirety of the gospel of Christ. I want to be like Paul. "I'm free of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God." Jesus truly is the Son of God. He came and died for you and for me, for all the world, that we might be saved. How do we come to salvation? We hear the gospel. Romans 10 verse 17. We must believe that gospel. That's what's spoken of in Mark chapter 16. When Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he that believeth," believeth what? The gospel. "And is baptized shall be saved." I have to repent of my sins. Luke 13 verse 3 and verse 5. "Then I confess that Christ truly is the Son of God." Romans 10 verses 9 and 10. "I am immersed in water that my sins might be washed away." Acts 22 and verse number 16. "And then I live faithfully all the days of my life." Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10. What's the eternal product of proper belief in the Christ? If men believe not, there is that consequence. What did he say? "If you believe not that I am He, you'll die in your sins." Why? Because if you don't believe who He is, you'll never believe what He said. But then there's that eternal reward to the faithful. We mentioned Genesis 3 and verse 15 a moment ago. The promise that's been given to us. You know, we cannot obtain eternal salvation without that proper belief in Jesus Christ as being the Son of God. You know, there's a lot of things we could have talked about tonight that's proof of what we're discussing. But let's just go back to where Jesus said there in John chapter 14, especially in verse number 6, when He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Me." Salvation is in the proper belief that Jesus is the Son of God. Taking what He says, believing it, and living it in our lives. Tonight we're going to extend the Lord's invitation to anyone that's here who's never obeyed the gospel. You may be here and you've not been baptized for the remission of your sins. Tonight we've talked about what it takes in order to come to salvation. We have to understand there is only one place for salvation, that being in the church of the New Testament. The one we talked about there, that one body in Ephesians 4 and verse 4. Ephesians 5, verse 23 tells us how important the church is. It says He's the Savior of the body. If you're not a part of the body of Jesus Christ, not a part of the church of Christ, you do that by obeying the gospel and being baptized. Acts 2, verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved. But if you're here tonight and you've wandered away, you've not lived the way you ought to live, the Bible tells us we sin, Romans 3, verse 23, 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, verse 10. But verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. My friends, have a proper belief in Jesus the Christ and demonstrate it by how you live your lives. If you need to respond, please do that as together we stand and sing. He made a day in our life.